The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everyone? It is a Thursday afternoon, and we are getting ready for Sharks hockey. We have a great show for you today. First, we're going to talk with Pete Weber, who is the radio play-by-play voice of the Nashville Predators. And then you're going to hear from Curtis Pashelka as we get ready for tonight's game. First, though, we'll talk to Pete about what we saw the other night.
Well, we had a wild story to tell just a couple of nights ago here in Music City. That game came as close as anything that I've ever done prior to the Bills' comeback against the Houston Oilers in the playoffs after the 93 season, when the Bills were down 35-3 in the third quarter and came back and won 41-38 in overtime.
That was, first off, that's a great pull because I remember that game very, very well, just because it was so remarkable. But yeah, I mean, just it, out of nowhere too. I mean, you know, not to pile on the Sharks, as I know right. Who signs my paychecks, but Nashville looked dead in the water. And then suddenly it was 5-2 and 5-3, a little nerves there. And then what was it, 30 seconds into the third period to make it 5-4. And it was you could feel the clenching, as it were.
Yes, absolutely. And that was, the Predators looked absolutely brutal. And I don't know any better way to put that either. And I know who signs my paycheck. But this is one where they just backed off, and the Sharks, and including the likely rookie of the year, Macklin Celebrini, with just a gorgeous shot to make it 1-0.
What do you think of Macklin Celebrini now that you've had the opportunity to watch him in the flesh?
Yes, it's very important. Now, I've obviously been impressed by him on the screen and in Dan's radio calls when I'm out driving around as well in Middle Tennessee. Very, very impressive. And I'm just sorry he had to miss some time this year with injury.
Yeah, no, it was unfortunate when he went down, but, you know, it hasn't seemed to slow him down. And he keeps on playing well. Why do you think, in your estimation, that Nashville has not lived up to the expectations, especially the way that the second half of last year went and with the big offseason acquisitions?
I mean, and that day, July 1st around here, I think that was the day that general manager Barry Trotz earned the title Drunken Sailor, because he was spending money like a drunken sailor, signing up the likes of, you know, going after Steven Stamkos, getting Jonathan Marchessault, getting a defenseman coming in as well to try and help out. And but then it's like all of a sudden, none of these pieces seem to be working. In a way, it sort of reminds me of what happened when the Minnesota North Stars, this goes back quite a ways, more to your father's time than anything else, but when the Minnesota North Stars and their general manager decided they were going to put together an all-star team, but the all-star team didn't mesh. This one is beginning to mesh a little bit now. Mm-hmm. I mean, four straight wins, but it's a little bit late to the party for all that. And why it hasn't happened, I don't know. Some people have theorized it was the fact that you brought in all right-handed shots. You know, this isn't baseball, guys.
Yeah.
Let's not think about that. but whatever the reason is, that's what they want to determine exactly what it was and then correct it for next year.
I mean, I know that there was the talk early on when it wasn't working of, you know, tearing it all down, but I just can't see that happening looking at this roster. To me, it seems like this is a worst case scenario type season, and that if you run this all out there again next year, albeit there's always change, but with the same main names, it should yield much better results. I mean, I know that flies in the face of what the standings say, but you know, I look at this and all I can do is say, this doesn't make any sense.
Right. And I think that's all any of us really can do. And even when I get my infrequent phone conversations with Scotty Bowman, he's not been able to figure it out either. And Scotty and I go way back to his time in Buffalo.
Man, it's just, it is frustrating to watch it happen. You know, is it would take a remarkable run here in the second half, of which I'll never put it out of probability until a team has been eliminated from contention. But what are the goals now for Nashville in the second half of the season?
Just to play each game as well as they can and then let the chips fall where they may. That really is all they can do right now. And if they do play as well as they think they are capable, things are going to be rather exciting. Maybe not as exciting as they were on Tuesday night, but they're going to be exciting.
Yeah, no, I mean, most definitely. What are you expecting out of tonight's game? I know that when teams play each other this close back-to-back, sometimes tempers can flare a little bit.
Yep, absolutely. And the one thing I've already – now, I was quoted in several media areas as saying, going into the third period, the final is going to be Preds 6, Sharks 5. Okay, I was off a goal. Sorry about that. But I feel tonight is going to be, somehow or another, probably a 2-1 game where the coaches really get to take control. I know that's what they would love.
Most definitely. And we get the storyline of Yaroslav Askarov going against the team that traded him. Yes. And I don't specifically think there's bad blood. I know some people are trying to paint it that way, but I think Askarov didn't see a path forward considering who the goalie is in Nashville right now. And he wanted his chance to be a number one guy. But I think that'll right. be an interesting narrative at the very least.
It certainly will be. And he's a very entertaining youngster.
Yes.
And I hope everybody in the Bay Area has seen the video of him bench pressing the goal when he was playing for Milwaukee last year after a big game. He bench pressed the goal cage.
Yeah, no, I saw that, and his just personality, you know, there is unique and then there is idiosyncratic. And I think that's where he is, because he's just he's very happy go lucky. And he's the guy who's, when he's getting peppered with shots from Edmonton, from Draisaitl and McDavid, he's smiling right. and laughing during the stoppages. It's again, he's an idiosyncratic one-of-one individual.
Is he ever? And in that sense, he reminds me of the guy I worked with in Buffalo for a while named Dominic Hasek.
Yes. That's a good name to be compared to. We haven't seen him come out, though, and flip anyone on the ice, though. But there's
no,
there's,
not so far. But hey, so far. Don't put it past him.
There's still plenty of time. So you are predicting a much tighter 2-1 game here tonight. You don't think we're going to see 12 goals again. You know, I know that
if we do, I won't complain.
I say, Pete, that I'm a sportscaster is because I'm very good at being wrong. What do you look for in terms of Nashville playing the game that they want to play to where it would be a more controlled, more lower scoring game and more obvious results from the netminder?
Well, Andrew Brunette doesn't like to play defense first. He is not like those soccer coaches we both know that like nothing better than a clean sheet when the night is done. And this has been changed around a bit. So he's going to want to go on the attack. So I think what it effectively is going to want is the guys moving as a unit of five and working together in that fashion. That's been difficult to accomplish with all the injuries that have been hit upon this team here this year. But if that happens, I mean, maybe it's not 2-1, maybe it's 4-3. But I think in any case, if it does turn out to be 4-3, both coaches will be happy.
Yes, especially after the other night. Well, Pete, yeah. I know you've got stuff to do, so I will let you go. But I appreciate your time as always, and I'll bug you soon, all right?
No problem whatsoever. Very happy to do this, and glad that your kids are getting picked up from school.
Pete Weber, everyone, the longtime radio voice of the Nashville Predators, joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. And now we are going to bring in Curtis Pichelko, who covers the Sharks for Bay Area News Group. Curtis, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Doing well, Ted. How are you?
I am doing very well. Just, you know, getting ready for the Sharks game tonight and ready to see what happens next. Obviously, Dewar, the new acquisition, was at morning skate today. Just your thoughts on the acquisition and then what comes next for him as, you know, I think a lot of us feel that this is the first of many moves as we approach the deadline.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a positive move overall for the Sharks. He was Walker's a guy that kind of fallen out of favor a little bit with the Flames coaching staff and, you know, hasn't gotten much opportunity to play there recently over the last year and a half. Prior to that, though, he was sort of a regular in the lineup. I don't want to say regular in the lineup, but a guy who showed he could play in the NHL and be an NHL type player. So, a fresh start for him. And the Sharks get to look at a guy who could they could potentially should have some interest in keeping down the line, or even trying to flip it towards the deadline. So I think from that perspective, it's a positive, and he's a type of guy that maybe the Sharks don't have quite enough of right now. Big body, big winger, knows what his game is, north south. Certainly an intriguing player, and sort of a low risk addition here for the Sharks as they try to find some answers here to what's going on.
Yeah, and obviously the offense has been mostly non-existent in the new year and even dating back to the month of December. There have been a couple of blips on the radar with 6 and 5 goals at the start and end of this road trip, but mostly it's been a lot of ones and twos and, even a zero thrown in there as of late. And I think it's relatively simple, Curtis. I see the shot volume and it's simply not good enough. I know it's more than that, but I guess the better question is, why is the shot volume so low?
Well, I mean, as you've seen here over the last few games, sometimes the Sharks might get off to a bad start or even a good start, like they did in Nashville. And at some point in the game, then the opposition picks up their play and really starts to hem the Sharks in their own zone. Part of it's that, and I think part of it is maybe the Sharks at times been a little too picky in terms of their shot selection. They're not a team that necessarily throws everything at the net. I think they're a team that maybe tries to make one or two extra plays, maybe set up that grade A chance. And of course, Warsawski's sort of been talked about that these last few games, about being maybe the team's being a bit too cute at times in the offensive zone. Maybe they should be a little bit more direct in terms of funneling pucks toward the net. So it's sort of a combination of things. I mean, this is a group that sort of, has to find some chemistry here among its forward lines. It seems they kind of shift things up, every few games here. So that's part of it as well. But I would expect, tonight at least, sort of a more of a concerted effort to put pucks on net, challenge the goalie, just taking a little bit of weight off Yaroslav Askarov's plate, I guess you could say, as he tries to pick up another win tonight.
Yeah, Askarov will be the starter tonight against Nashville, against his old team. Are we making too much out of this storyline, or is it just that he didn't see a path forward to be a number one guy and, he decided to look for greener pastures?
Oh, I think he's a guy who's definitely looking forward to playing tonight. I think he would have even relished the chance to play in Nashville as well, going against his former team. The Sharks made a decision to start him in Boston and perhaps didn't want to play him on back-to-back nights at this stage of his career. So, but he's definitely, from what you can tell today, just talking to him, he's definitely a player that's looking forward to playing his old team tonight, as most players are, whenever they get a chance. So I would expect Yaroslav to be dialed in tonight and help the Sharks sort of rebound from Tuesday's game.
Tyler Toffoli likely to be in the lineup, or at least we assume, barring any late, complications regarding the injury he's been dealing with. How much do you think his absence mattered in those last couple of games, especially a collapse like the one against Nashville that we just saw? Or is it just the fact that, even a veteran like Toffoli may not have been able to stem the tide against whatever it is that happened against Nashville the other night?
Well, it certainly can't hurt. I mean, obviously he's a veteran player. We talked to him this morning, and he was a guy that obviously wanted to be a part of things on Tuesday there, try to be part of the solution. I think Ryan Warsawski too is looking forward to having him back in the lineup. He's a guy that wins a lot of battles on the walls and just is plays with some poise at this point of his career, which I think might have been missing on Tuesday too. So you add to the fact that he's a team leading goal scorer too. So a lot of very various factors why he's valuable to this team, and I think we'll see if he kind of make an impact tonight. It's tough always when you have to miss 4 or 5 games and then suddenly jump back into the mix here, but we'll see what he can bring us. I'm sure obviously, of course, Ryan Warsawski is happy to have him back for sure.
Have you wrapped your head around what exactly happened to the Sharks on Tuesday night?
Well, it's just a combination of things. It's the fact that maybe they stopped playing the game that they made them successful during the first period and early in the second. It's just the team's a little bit fragile right now. I mean, they give up a power play goal to make it 5-2. That Nashville scored the power play there to cut the lead to three, and then they add another goal shortly after, and all of a sudden, the Sharks start thinking to themselves, maybe here we go again. So it's, I think part of it is a little bit of a confidence thing. Part of it maybe is a little bit of an inexperience in some respect for some players being in that situation again. Georgiev, I thought, played okay. I think he wants maybe one or two of those shots back too as well. So just a combination of things. And for this team, it's lost so many third period leads over the years, over the course of the last few weeks, that it's incredibly frustrating for them, because they're it's not a matter of effort necessarily, at least in my viewpoint. It's just a matter of execution and making the right plays we need to make them.
In terms of this being a necessary step along the way in a rebuild, especially for these young guys, learning lessons often involves pain, and success is something that comes from failure. Is that Mike Greer's and Ryan Warsawski's, I guess, hopeful takeaway from what's been happening?
Well, I mean, you certainly have to learn from these experiences. You can't just throw the tape away from Tuesday's night's game. And this has to be a learning moment, a teachable moment for the young guys in the room, and even some guys who are still trying to, establish themselves as full-time NHL players. It's when you look back, it's not uncommon for young teams or younger teams to go through these kind of struggles and figure out what it takes to win. But you do certainly hope, at least from the Sharks' perspective, that they can find a way to sort of get over this hurdle, whether it's a mental hurdle, it's a physical hurdle, it's a roster issue, it's a coaching issue, whatever it might be. I mean, certainly this is an area that the Sharks need to show some improvement in as the season goes on, because it's just, if otherwise, obviously it's just going to keep happening over and over again. It's just going to get more frustrating. So the Sharks just need to find out what works for them in those type of situations. Maybe they'll be faced with it again tonight, carrying a lead into the third period or being tied after two periods, which has happened, between the two, over half their games this season. So just try to find out what works for them and then go from there. If it does work, then you got something to build on. You've got a bit of a blueprint and you can kind of go from there.
Will Smith the other night showed his ability to turn defense into offense, which was a previous criticism of his game. And is that kind of the, not the breakthrough, but the just the first sign that he is turning into a guy who can be good when he's not with the puck on his stick, that he is going to be developing into that player? Because those two plays happened, and it seemed like the first one really bolstered his confidence in terms of his willingness to step into a lane. Because there have been other times this year where I've thought to myself, a more experienced player in Will's position would step up. And there's been times where he's just kind of hung back. But in that game against Boston, he did step in to meet the player. And even the second one, he used his body to break things up as opposed to the stick check on the first.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's certainly an area of growth for him during the course of the season, and it's to get sort of that positive feedback when you do make those kind of plays. That's valuable, for a young player who's, still trying to figure out what's going to make him successful on a nightly basis here in the NHL. So it was nice to see that for Will. It was an important game for him. Obviously, the Sharks would have loved to sort of pull that win out and go on the run and get some confidence for that. It didn't happen, but there are certain little things that you could take for that game and say, okay, this works, this works, this doesn't work, and then go from there. So yeah, for Will's perspective, I think that was an important game. And now it's a matter of doing it on a consistent basis, especially in the second half of the season here, where he's never been in a situation where he's played 50, 60, 70 games. Well, now he's going to be in that situation, and sort of how does he react to that, and what's the next several weeks going to look like for him?
We'll have more with Curtis Peschelka tomorrow morning on Morning Tide as we talk about the deadline in particular and what's coming next for the San Jose Sharks. But we are just about out of time. Tonight, it is a 7:30 go time, 7 o'clock pregame show right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Dan Rusinowski will be joined on the call by the great Scott Hannon as they call all the action in between the Sharks and the Predators. San Jose looking to bounce back after what was a very, very painful loss the other night. They were up 5-1. They lost 7-5. That was one of the more remarkable games that I can remember. San Jose, I am sure, wants to forget it. There's no better way to forget it by bouncing back with a win, especially in front of your home crowd. All right, we're out of time. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.